Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
The issue of farm thefts becomes more prevalent during the winter months, and both farmers and Gardaí want to raise awareness on how to avoid being the victim of such crime. I'm joined on the line by Darragh McCullough, author, farmer, columnist with the Irish Independent, presenter of Ear to the Ground, and you've been writing about this in the past week, Darragh, because you've had a, and let's not blow it out of all proportion, you've been the victim of a small crime.
Like I suppose a lot of people out there, it's hard to go through life without encountering something unsavoury along the road. And our event was literally along the road. We have a little farm shop that we sell flowers at the weekends. And during the summer, I have a couple of students look after it for me, and cars typically pull in on the road, off the road, and hop out, and they spend a fiver or tenner on flowers. On this occasion, the car, when we look back in hindsight, it's also clear the car didn't pull in the same spot the car is normally pulled in. It pulled by a little bit. Two people hopped out, an older woman and a young lady. They split up, and one of them basically distracted my flower seller, and the other raided the till and made off with a couple of €100. My concern was, well, if it's going to happen once, it could happen a second time and a third time, and we just get fleeced. So we had to turn around and install security cameras, which costs a couple of €1,000. And of course, it's very hard to basically run any kind of a business premises without electronic gates and automatic gates, which again are another couple of €1,000, all of which are spent in the last couple of years. And I was just writing about the fact that, you know, for a farm, it's difficult at the best of times to keep a farm secure, a farmyard secure, because they tend to be quite open. And, you know, only recently I was reading how guards were describing farmyards like supermarkets during the winter months for criminals, which, of course, it will scare the living daylights out of a lot of the farming population, who, let's bear in mind, they're mostly elderly. The average age of farmers out there is 60 plus. And yeah, it's not a nice position to be in.
Yeah, they do say, don't they, that a farm has something that everybody will want. Every thief will end up wanting. Your crime was at the more opportunistic end, one suspects, because I wonder how much are you hearing anecdotally about the more organised kind of theft, where we have seen tractors from Western Europe, stolen tractors, ending up in consignments for sale in places like Lithuania?
Yeah, happens all the time. Haven't heard too much of it this year, Philip, and I don't know if it's COVID related. I mean, statistics do show that, you know, house burglaries are down a bit this year because, of course, there's more people at home and there's less opportunities for burglars to raid places. I haven't heard about as many tractors disappearing from farms, but the issue of livestock rustling, which to non-farmers seems bizarre. What are you going to do with a cow if you steal a cow from a field? But the fact is that there are people out there rustling both sheep and cattle, sometimes butchering them on the spot, but only in the last week or two, there was up on close to 50 sheep stolen down around the Kerry region, another farmer up in Donegal as well. So it's happening all the time.
The thing about thefts from farms is that we have had a huge number of Garda initiatives to tackle it. The most recent of which, I think, was abandoned last year because there wasn't very much uptake. Less than 100 farmers subscribed to the or joined up to the Theft Stop scheme. Now, that suggests one of two things to me. Either one, farmers know that these schemes just aren't going to work and there is no point in signing up to them, or theft from farms is something that farmers complain about but don't actually ever do very much to combat.
Yeah, I think there could be a little bit of column A and a bit of column B there, Philip. I think most people will resign themselves to the fact that if they're strimmer or quad or, you know, tools, power tool is stolen, that's it. They're never going to see it again. I mean, 1 in 100 cases or maybe 1 in 1,000 cases may be recovered. And then if you have, you know, the initiative of Theft Stop was that you would have your own initials or special code printed or embedded on the tool, and it could be traced back to you. But then column B is, you know, our farmers really a bit too lackadaisical about this. I mean, in my own case, 18 months ago, we were thinking about, you know, can we get the fella down to, you know, put the print or the mark or whatever on the kit we had at home. And we rang up the IFA because they were kind of involved in it, and they couldn't come out to our area because there wasn't enough people signed up in our area. And if we could get a whole load of farmers in our locality all on board at the same time in the same place with their, all their tools, then by all means they'd come down and mark them for us. But we couldn't organise that, and the thing fell by the wayside. And I suppose, like a lot of farmers, we've let the thing slide. And, you know, Operation Thor and all these various operations are going on around the countryside, but the teeth is taken out of them if we can't implement them at grassroots.
The irony of it is that I know that Gardaí regularly complain about the amount of space that they have to devote to holding on to stolen items that they can't reunite with their original owners because they've no means of identifying them. So it's surely not beyond the wit of man to find some way of properly marking and properly identifying stuff, you would think.
Yes, and especially with all the technology out there in terms of watermarking tools and, you know, stuff that only shines up with a UV light. There's lots of different ways of doing this, but of course it has to be one that is practical, like, you know, that can be rolled out easily and quickly across the country and is accessible to all farmers. Remember, if you're going to try and do something new and change a culture, as we can see with COVID, it's a difficult thing to do.
Now you mention COVID, and it's really hard to get away from it. As farmers, you're probably in one of the safest professions because, you know, most of you end up working pretty much by yourselves most of the time and out of doors. The one place where that wasn't the case was in Marts, but technological workarounds were found that allowed Marts to continue safely up until very recently when it all went belly up. Has that been resolved?
I think this is a great example of the digital divide in action, in reality. So, you know, in theory, every mart should be able to move all its auctions online and farmers can bid from the comfort of their own homes, which on paper sounds like a great idea and was adopted with some gusto and enthusiasm during the springtime. It was novel. Farmers suddenly were roping in their grandsons and granddaughters to help them figure out using iPhones and laptops and all the rest of it. And it seemed to be working. But in the last week or two, we've heard of Marts literally grinding to a halt because the broadband wasn't strong enough. They weren't able to get the connection, keep the connection live. And of course, we're talking about quite remote places. Like, you think of marts around the country, some of them are on the outskirts of towns, but there's others in the middle of nowhere. I'm thinking of Mam Cross, for example, just off the top of my head. Mm. And, you know, these typically are the broadband black spots. There's another issue, Philip, and that is that we've come into the business end of the year in terms of bidding at Marts. Back in the spring, a lot of the trade is for calves. And, you know, you're going to spend maybe 50, 100, 150, even 250 euros on a calf. And you can do that from the comfort of your own home. If you get it wrong, in other words, you buy the wrong animal or the animal wasn't as good when you got it home as you hoped for, it's not the end of the world. At this time of the year, the animals that are going through the ring are costing 750, 1,000, 1,250 euros. We're talking about weanling stores, heavier animals, more mature animals. And if you get your bidding strategy wrong, in other words, you're bidding on the wrong animals because you haven't realized that there's a flaw or that they don't meet your specs, you've got a lot of money on the line. So suddenly it really counts to be a get into the mart and see the stock up close and personal. And of course, that's where the problems start. And I've been around marts through Filament for Ear to Ground over the last month. Some of them would shock you, you know, that there's fellas all around the ring, cheek by jowl. Okay, they're wearing masks, but, you know, when you're shoulder to shoulder, it's not ideal in terms of trying to suppress COVID. And the other issue with marts is that they're basically big sheds with lots of gates. It's very difficult to stop farmers getting in by a side gate or a back gate if they really want to get into a pen and see the stock that they're intending buying. So it has been frustrating for mart managers to try and implement all these controls. It's been frustrating for farmers because they feel like they don't know what they're bidding on if they're not there in person able to see the stock. And of course, now their only choice is to bid online. And we saw a kind of a plea from Kenmare Mart Manager last week or over the weekend. And it was a real plaintive plea to the government, to the policymakers, to please give the marts some kind of allowance to operate more normally. But I think in this case, Philip, there's lots of businesses around the country suffering. I can't see the policymakers making special exemptions for marts.
I kind of blithely suggested there that farmers were... could be by and large unaffected by COVID. But now that we're talking about marts, kind of forget how central that weekly or fortnightly trip to the mart and particularly to the cafeteria is to most farmers' lives when they are spending so much time by themselves that the mart is really at the centre of many fellas' social lives.
You're bang on there, Philip. It's because farming is so isolated that the social element of the mart was so vital. And again, go back to that issue of the demographic in farming tends to be older men. A lot of men are living on their own. The mart was their only social outlet. And, you know, it kind of touches on that broader issue, which in the course of trying to save our health and ourselves from COVID, are we exposing ourselves to more insidious health issues in terms of depression, loneliness? And, you know, even a lot of marts provide kind of services, kind of, you know, anything from a barber to health checks. And often for a lot of farmers out there, that is the only place where they interact with these types of services.
Indeed. Darren McCullough, I'm sure you need to go off and find a rave to break up. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Take care.
Thanks, Philip.